Good morning, and welcome again to Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master is a program that is heard every weekday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time and is replayed in the evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And these programs are also posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website. I want to thank you again for joining me. This is your Thursday edition. Each day has a different host and a different course of studies. My name is Chris McAleer. I'm your host on Thursdays here on Mornings for the Master. And at this time, in our Thursday programs, we have been studying for some time the book of John. And today we are going to look at chapter 17 as we consider the prayer of Jesus for the disciples. And so I hope that you will stay with me for the next few minutes as we spend this time in God's Word, as we move our day in the right direction. I would remind you again that the Gospel Radio Network is under the oversight of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ and its elders there. The programming director is Brother David Sudhoff. And if you ever have anything that we can assist you with, then we encourage you to let us know at office@tgrn.org. Now, as we go to our study time today, let's go to John chapter 17, and we begin with verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me, where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. John chapter 17 gives us the Lord's Prayer. We can see a difference between this and the model prayer which he had earlier given to the disciples. Jesus certainly had no need to pray for the forgiveness of sin, for which he prayed in the model prayer. It was for them. This is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus, though we do know that he prayed all night in the Garden of Gethsemane. We do not have all of the words to that. But now chapter 17, as it begins, we find Jesus praying for himself. Let's go back to verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus clearly addressed his prayer to the Father. He does not pray to himself, nor the Holy Spirit. His eye is directed above to the Father. And we should notice that there is great reverence in his prayer. Praying to his Father. He did not use terms like daddy or papa or some of the other terms we hear people using today in prayers. Now, they certainly could be well-meaning when they say these things, but it is not the type of reference that is exemplified by Jesus, and thus it would leave them on very questionable and dangerous grounds. We should be reverent when we come to the throne of God. Jesus stated that the hour had come. He knew and he understood that the time of his death was at hand. And still, with that knowledge, with his understanding that he was about to die, the just for the unjust, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, even in this hour of trial, the only thing on the mind of Jesus was to glorify the Father. When Jesus is glorified at his resurrection, it also would bring glory to the Father. Now, verse 2 shows us that all power comes from the Father, that our Father God is the originator and the distributor of all power. It said, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Jesus would later again state in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 that all authority had been given to him in heaven and on earth, and this would come from the Father. Jesus has all authority. The Son, Jesus Christ, would have the power. The power, thus, to give eternal life to all he chooses. For there is no limit to his power. And he has made his choice already. He has predestined those who would receive this. The ones that he has chosen, those that he has destined to eternal life, are those who choose to do his will and obey his commandments. Man can glorify Jesus when he lives in obedience. We show our love to him by keeping his commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 4, Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus had completed his task. He had fulfilled the work that the Father had sent him to do. It was accomplished. This leaves no room for the idea that his work was unfinished, as the premillennial doctrine teaches. For Jesus said, I have finished the work that you've given me to do. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all. Like much of the Old Testament prophecies that God declared done before it happened, Jesus said the work is done before he went to the cross. But it was prophesied and carried out, and there was 100% certainty of that event happening. In verse 5, Jesus said, And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Do you see the longing and the yearning in Jesus to return to the glory that he had left behind some 33 years earlier? As the song that we sometimes sing says, He left the splendor of heaven knowing his destiny. So as our chapter began, we find that Jesus prayed for himself in verses 1 through 5. But now as we arrive at verse 6, we find that Jesus changes his direction here and begins to pray for his disciples. Notice verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Jesus revealed the name of the Father to the apostles. Those men that the Father gave to him out of the world. Jesus spent time with them, and he taught them the things of the Father, and he prayed to the Father for them. The apostles had submitted themselves to both the Father and the Son. In verse 7, Jesus said, Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. Of course, he's speaking of the disciples here, his apostles. And Jesus is truly happy because his apostles had received extensive teaching from him. They had developed patience, and they had learned that everything that Jesus said and did came from the Father. They had learned and understood that the Father and the Son were in complete harmony and unity, that they were one with one purpose. And he continues to speak to the Father about them in verse 8. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Jesus had given to the apostles everything that pertain to life and godliness. As Paul would speak to Timothy later, they were thoroughly equipped for every good work. Most importantly, the apostles received and accepted and obeyed these words. The apostles knew and understood that anything that Jesus taught them was straight from the Father. As Peter had confessed, so they all believed, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus continued to pray for them in verse 9. He said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus prayed for these men. He prayed they would be strong and courageous and bold. He was thankful that the Father gave them to him as helpers. He understood that God was the source from whom all blessings flow. In verse 10, he continued to pray, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. The deity of Jesus Christ can be seen, and the realization is that faithful saints, whether it be the apostles or you and I today, we glorify Jesus when we are faithful and fruitful. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 11. What a comfort it would have been for the apostles to have Jesus pray for their faithfulness and for him to pray that they be one with Jesus and the Father. We also can be one with Jesus and the Father if we are willing to submit our lives to the Father's will and to live in faithful obedience. Jesus continued in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Indeed, all of the apostles had remained faithful except for Judas, and it had been prophesied that he would fall. But the other 11 were still standing. In verse 13, Jesus said, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus knew that the road would be difficult for his apostles, but he knew that they would be able to better travel that road if their lives were filled with the joy that comes from abiding in Christ. And this was the heartfelt desire of Jesus for his disciples. He continued to pray in verse 14 to the Father, saying, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Christians that are clothed with truth and that earnestly contend for the faith that has been once delivered have always been hated by the world of darkness. A faithful Christian will be hated by the world because they reflect the light of Christ into that darkness. And darkness has never wanted to be exposed to light. A faithful saint is in this world, but they are not of this world. And so Jesus continued to pray in verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Jesus did not ask of the Father to remove the disciples from this world, but he asked the Father to protect them from the evil one, from the old dragon, Satan himself. He did not ask the Father to take them out of the world because if the Father took them out of this world, they would not be able to accomplish the work that they had been given. Their ministry needed to be accomplished, and it could be accomplished with the Father's care and protection of them in the days of trouble that lay ahead. I recall the words of the prophet Nahum in chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Indeed, God would be a stronghold in the days of trouble and trial and tribulation that lay ahead for those who would put their faith in him, as the apostles would do. Jesus again said to the Father in verse 16 that in reference to his apostles, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. A faithful Christian will never be of the world. But we have to be in the world in order to reach the lost, to reach them with that only message of hope that there is for salvation, that being the gospel of Jesus Christ. They needed that truth. And thus Jesus would say to the Father in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Consider what Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11 about this sanctification. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We are sanctified by the word of truth. The word is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. Recall the beginning of this letter from John. In the beginning was the Word, The Word was with God, and the Word was God. When Christians live and abide in truth, they are sanctified by it. In verse 18, Jesus said, "As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Jesus came by the will of the Father. Jesus sent the apostles into the world. Jesus fully sanctified himself in obedience. And the apostles and us today can be sanctified by abiding in Jesus, who is truth. So, we see that Jesus prayed for himself, and Jesus prayed for his apostles. But now you and I can take great comfort, because Jesus also prayed for the future church, for you and I who would come long after those days. Notice verse 20. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." This is a great encouragement for you and I, for all believers through the ages. Jesus prayed for me and for you. Jesus prayed for those who will believe in him in the future as a result of the apostles' doctrine and their teaching. Is there any greater blessing that you or I could receive, that we could ever ask for, to have the Lord Jesus Christ pray on our behalf? In verse 21, Jesus said that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus prays for us to be one with him, as he is with the Father. Jesus knew that if the world would see unity between the disciples and him and the Father, the world would be much more inclined to believe the message of the cross and the message of salvation. In verse 22, Jesus said, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." Jesus had given the glory of his majesty to his people, and the joy that is found in unity in Christ Jesus. This world of sin around us cannot, will not, and never will understand the powerful blessing and the glorification that comes from living in unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 23, he said, "I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." How much clearer can it get? He continues in verse 24. "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, For you loved me before the foundation of the world. We can see the great desire of Christ is for his people to spend eternity with him. In verse 25, Jesus said, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. Again, notice the reverent tone that Jesus addresses the Father with. He said, O righteous Father. Though the world has, through the centuries, largely not recognized or acknowledged our Father God, the disciples of the Lord had recognized and known him, and that the Father had sent Christ, and that Jesus was from God, and that he was God. In verse 26, Jesus said, And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus has shown the Father to man. Declaring the name of the Father in Jesus will do this great thing for men who confess and declare the name of Jesus Christ. Recall Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, where Jesus said, Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. In John chapter 17, we have learned a great deal about the importance and the power of prayer. And we have certainly seen the importance and the power of prayer to Jesus. John 17 has taught us much about what should be prayed for. The Lord's kingdom. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of our fervent prayer. And we are sanctified by the Word if we abide in it. Oh, what comfort we can take! What encouragement there is to be found in the fact that Jesus prayed for us, even when his death on the cross was at hand. Much for us to learn from the prayer of Jesus for himself, for his disciples, and the future disciples, you and I. I hope that our time together has been beneficial to you today. You have greatly encouraged me with your presence. And I look forward to, if the Lord wills, continuing our study of the book of John, this amazing book, as next week, Lord willing, we will look at chapter 18. I hope that you'll join me. Don't forget, this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, that it will be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website within a day or so. Stay tuned through the day today for the programming here on the network, a day that will be filled with sound gospel teaching, beautiful hymns. And remember to join again tomorrow for Mornings for the Master at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time when your host will be Brother Preston McElyea. You won't want to miss it. So, until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and have a great day, and may God bless you.